Hello and welcome to Press TV's extensive coverage of the revolutions in the making in the region. This half hour, we'll be looking at the latest in Bahrain, where, of course, the situation continues to be serious, even though, according to the Bahraini government, emergency measures have been lifted. The state of emergency has been lifted, but nothing has really changed as people are continuing to be put on trial with the accusation that they're saying that they have been tortured, forced confessions. People still have lost their jobs, have lost their positions at universities, at schools. People are missing. Very tough situation still taking place in Bahrain. And as you can see, the footage that we're showing right now, we know that the Crown Prince Salman bin Hamad Khalifa was actually in Washington meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, as well as President Obama. And basically, it seems that the U.S. is not really coming down hard on the Bahraini regime. They said, according to President Obama, that the Crown Prince should hold accountable those responsible for human rights abuses. But who to hold accountable and how? And to be fair to the opposition, there was no particular plan that had been given. Anyway, we're going to switch over to Manama, where we have the president of Bahrain Center for Human Rights, Mr. Nabil Rajab. Mr. Rajab, thank you for being with us as always. We appreciate it. Joining us via Skype, thank you so much for being with us. Mr. Rajab, if you can fill us in on the latest of what's going on in Bahrain, we really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, the only positive news that we have today is that the decision was taken by Formula One not to hold their racing in October, coming October. And this comes out of pressure that was created by many human rights groups against the Formula One, as government were trying to show situation back to normal after committing all their crimes against humanity here. And the Formula One have taken a decision to go ahead with the Formula One, but lately in the past few hours, the newly decision was made after pressure made that by human rights organization, by many people. Around 500,000 people have signed a petition to them to stop Formula One coming in October. And I think that shows the power of people, that shows the power of human rights defenders around the world, that shows the power of people, lovers of democracy around the world. I appreciate all their help and support at this time. And I'm happy to hear that piece of news. And I think that will add pressure to our government, as many political pressure from here and there, that so that they stop their crimes against humanity. On the ground, as you know, the military trial has been continuing. More and more people being brought. Today, around 45 people, trial has started. It is four different cases I'm not aware of as of this moment, but more people being brought to military trial. Tomorrow there will be more people will be brought also to military trial. Every day we see new groups of people are being brought to military trial. Although government talked about lifting martial law, but in reality we've seen the military trial has been going on, not only as a continuation to a formal cases, but the new cases are being brought to military trial. And a lot of places were attacked today also, as people were starting to protest, calling for their detainees to be out. They were attacked in several places. As you know, the arrest of people are being continuing. Military trial for women and girls, school girls, are being continuing. More girls, more women are to be brought for before military trial in coming days also. Many trials have started, and the families of those detainees are not aware of it. They just come to know that their loved one being taken to military court and with no lawyers.
Now, Mr. Rajab, when they are taken to court, when they do have the trial, because you said the families usually do not know, is there anyone in attendance from the family or a lawyer, or absolutely they have no idea when their loved ones are going to trial?
Well, most of the people in detention now, we're talking about more than 1,000 people, nobody knows why they have been in detention. Nobody knows the reason for being detained so that they can prepare their lawyer or they prepare for their cases. Even those people who were told about the cases and about the start of their case, they come to know only 8 hours, 12 hours before the trial starts. So this is not enough time to prepare for such a huge and complicated cases. But anyway, they adjourned most of the cases till they appoint a lawyer. Even you know that most of the lawyers are volunteer in those cases. But now, because of the huge number of people being brought to military trial, we were not able even to cope with the situation, with the number of these detainees. As each lawyers have many, many cases, and those cases are very complicated, very long, and one, and you know, they adjourn case for 2 days and 3 days. It's not enough time for one lawyer to take 30 and 40 cases or 20 cases, and which is speeding so fast. You know, all these trials does not meet an international standard for fair trial in terms of representation, in terms of access to their family, access to lawyer, independency, transparency. Human rights groups like us were not allowed to get inside. Lawyers are not allowed to discuss the cases in the media, to create a debate about the legitimacy of the trial, legitimacy of the cases, about the transparency.
Okay, Mr. Rajab, stay with me, please, Mr. Rajab. I want to switch over to our other guests and then come back to you, if possible. Turning to Beirut now, I'd like to welcome political analyst at Mr. Kamel Wazni. Thank you so much for being with us. Now, I'm sure that you could hear us as we were speaking with Mr. Rajab, and he was making a point that not international standards were being followed for these trials, as these people are being put on trial without basic proper representation because the lawyers don't even have time to prepare the case. At the same time, we know that the Crown Prince has been in Washington and basically not very much was said about this, about not having fair trials, about the people's rights being abused. Why do you think that is the case? And what do you think it will take to change Washington to actually exert more pressure on Manama?
Well, obviously here we see the hypocrisy of the United States, where they advocate democracy and they talk about the rule of law, and they actually receive somebody who's actually his country are using crime against humanity. What happened in Bahrain, the process of racial profiling, the process of attack against civilian doctors, nurses, the massive arrest of people, the layoff of people, the destruction of religious places. And on the other hand, Mr. Obama, who received a Nobel Prize for Peace, does not acknowledge that there is something happening in Bahrain, and what is happening in Bahrain is very severe, and everything is a violation of international law. The American, they know that Bahraini government serve the American interest, and as long they serve the American interest and they're under the supervision of the American powers, the American are willing to tolerate what is taking place, because some of what is taking place in Bahrain is coming as the order of the American itself. So here he comes to the White House, the Crown Prince, and the President and President Obama give lip service of starting or engaging in dialogue. At the same time, the Bahraini get some other orders from middle level official at the State Department by Feltman and somebody at military at the Defense Department to continue the crackdown against the peaceful Bahraini people. All they want the Bahraini is to have to have their constitution where they will be represented, where the one man, one vote, and they want it to be in a country where there will be no discrimination.
Now, Mr.
Obama
Wozniak,
should
in
know
all
better
fairness,
about...
Let me just jump in here, Mr. Wozniak, because you said that the Crown Prince got his new orders from middle State Department people basically to continue with their crackdown. There would be some to say, how would you know that? Is it perhaps possible that Washington is trying to exert some pressure for them not to crack down as they have been cracking down?
Well, obviously the statement by Mr. Feltman is very clear, and the statement by Gates, the defense minister, is very clear. Those they've been to Bahrain in many occasions, and every time after they leave Bahrain, you start seeing the crackdown. And we have to remember that this is the Fifth Fleet is actually exist on Bahraini soil, and the American can use their power and they can use their influence if they're not happy with the situation. We've seen how the American mobilize action at the military level and at United Nations when it comes to Libya, when it comes to other countries, when it comes to Iran, they put a lot of sanction. What they did regarding the people of Bahrain, nothing. They just let those people, the Bahraini, they receive them with like white gloves at the White House, and where the Bahraini government continue the crackdown against its people. Even the UN human right is actually, every human right organization has acknowledged there's a huge violation of human rights in Bahrain.
Okay.
Doesn't the American read that? And so we don't have to hear it, but the action speaks very clearly and very loudly. The American are receiving the crown prince of Bahrain, where his government still continue the crackdown, and that's an embrace of what is taken in Bahrain by the American government.
Okay.
And
well, let me turn to a Bahraini political activist in the UK, Ms. Sharifa Al-Hashmi, and get her take on this. Ms. Hashmi, what's your take on this situation at this point in time? Now, Washington has invited the Crown Prince there and have seen him. What does that say to you as a Bahraini activist? Do you think it's a thumbs up for him? Or do you think that perhaps they're trying to pressure him? How do you see it? And welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. Well, if they are trying to pressure him, they're not doing a good enough job, or they're not doing exerting enough pressure. We have seen, as was said before me, lip service paid to the idea of Bahrain being in turmoil, but no actual action has taken place. I believe this isn't just an American lack of action. It's also a Saudi Arabian influence, which is very clear with the sending of the Peninsula Shield into Bahrain. So America has many interests in Bahrain, be they economic, political, or regional. And the message that we're getting right now is, while they are willing to condemn, they're not actually willing to take any action whatsoever. We find this disappointing and quite startling in contrast to the situation somewhere else in the Middle East, like in Libya, for example.
Now, Ms. Hashmi, I want to look at the another aspect of what is going on in Bahrain. As more and more females are being detained, are being locked up, are being charged in military courts, it seems like this taboo in Muslim countries in general and in Bahrain in the past, a certain amount of respect for females, have totally been broken. How do you see it?
It has absolutely been broken. In fact, several members of my family have been in prison, several female and male members. There is no longer a lack of, there's no longer sort of an interest in whether someone is male, female, child, an adult. It doesn't really matter. There is no discrimination at this point, which is a very scary thing. Women are being trialed. Women, often their families have no idea where they are, where have they been taken, how long for, and on what accounts they've been held. They'll be taken, and the family may receive a phone call after a few days telling them that, in fact, they are in prison. There is no fairness in this whatsoever, and there is no transparency. So how can we help them if we don't know where they are and how they're doing?
Okay, going back to Manama, Mr. Rajab. Now, Mr. Rajab, you being the president of the Bahrain Center for Human Rights, and I'm sure that you continue to try to get information about those who are being detained. I would like to know an official letter, what are you told? What is your organization told when you're trying to get information about those detained? Are those being charged? On what charges are they being held? What type of response do they give you?
Well, first of all, I have to, mention the American position since you have brought this up with my colleagues in the program. I think the statement made by President Obama last night, although it is not satisfying, but it is a positive one, especially asking the Crown Prince that to bring these people to trial who committed the crimes against humanity. I think this is a positive one. I've just read in the foreign policy in the past 1 hour, and a piece was written where they say the King of Bahrain was blocked of going to the United States because the United States wanted to show anger that towards his policy, and he was supposed to go to graduate one of his children. I think all this position lately it has improved, although that we've seen the United States government have not done what they're supposed to do as an ally of Bahrain government, as they have an American presence here. But in the past, maybe a few weeks, the statement we've been seeing, it is slightly positive. So we should encourage that. We should push for more statements of criticism. Especially, we don't ask for any kind of military intervention as in Libya. And we just need the political, economical pressure, as our colleagues in other organizations have done with Formula One. Now, in regard to your question about in the ground, as you know, military trial is still going on. People are being brought daily basis. Arrest is going on. Protests being attacked. Religious marches being attacked for the first time. Although this religious march has been going on for the past hundreds of years in Bahrain, and nobody has touched that through the history. It's the first time we see more than 40 different marches were attacked in Bahrain. People being tortured. Yesterday, doctors talked to their family how they've been humiliated, how they were electrocuted, and how they were sexually harassed and tortured, how they were forced to be in a video camera or in a TV camera saying things they have not done, like they've done crimes, they've done things. I mean, we've seen also on Bahrain TV on a daily basis the crimes, programs that inciting hatred toward the Shias, trying to show the doctor's talks in TV where we know they've been forced to do that in jail, that they're saying they've done crime, they've been supported by this or that. And they got nothing on the ground show Bahrain government is serious. Although we see statement released by Crown Prince, by some political elite here to the international media regard of reform or regard of dialogue or regard of lifting the emergency law. But any ground, Bahraini people don't see that. It is all the message for international community than anything to do with inside. Bahrain government is not serious. Bahrain government's main objective now is just how to silence the international criticism, how to stop the international human rights groups and criticizing Bahrain more than doing any change on the ground, more than improving the human rights situation on the ground or introducing any kind of political and social reform.
Okay.
We don't see any indication that Bahrain government is serious as of this moment.
All right. Now, Mr. Wozni, you had brought up earlier about Saudi Arabia and their role in all of this, and I want to look at it in general. I mean, Saudi Arabia seems to be extremely, extremely busy these days, either taking in ex-dictators or, as we see in Bahrain, backing this regime and enforcing it by sending their own troops there to protect it. Tell me about Saudi Arabia at this point in time. How nervous do you think they are with the situation, taking into consideration in Bahrain and what has happened or is happening in Yemen? Do you think that the regime has been a little unnerved by the happenings in the region?
Well, I think the Saudi are afraid about what is taking place, and they're playing a very negative role in the region, especially in Bahrain. I think they made a huge mistake that will resonate for a very long time, and the repercussion you will see it in the coming years. What happened in Bahrain, it's a crime against its people and will not be forgotten by the Bahraini people. And this will affect the relationship between the Bahraini people and the Saudi. And I think that the Saudi are sending this message to beyond Bahrain. If we rule, this is what's going to happen. And I think they've been ruling Bahrain by sending their armies. On the other hand, as I said in your program, Saudi Arabia been a grave yard for all these dictators who been supported by them mainly, because they backed Zain al-Abidin, and they took Zain al-Abidin, and they were fighting for Mubarak to come to their soil. And Ali Saleh, he's at their hospital because they backed him to the last minute and at the expense of the people of Yemen. I think this negativity this will actually generate some hostility toward the regime of Saudi Arabia. And unfortunately, the United States hasn't mentioned once the negative role that Saudi Arabia has been playing in the situation in Bahrain. What the Saudis should be accountable for what is taking in place in Bahrain. Those, the firing of people, the torture, the process of racial discrimination in Bahrain, those has to be, at one point, it's going to be brought to international court. And I think the Bahraini government will be asked, and I think the Saudis will be accountable too, because their forces are in the ground, and they playing a very, very negative part in Bahrain.
Okay, Mr. Wasni, thank you so much for talking to us about the situation in Bahrain. Political analyst from Beirut, Kamel Wasni, president of Bahrain Center for Human Rights, Mr. Nabil Rajab in Bahrain, and in the UK, Bahraini political activist, Ms. Sharifa Lalhashmi. Thank you all for being with us, and thank you, viewers.